Amen. If you'll be turning with me in your Bibles this evening to the book of Psalms, amen, chapter number 147, praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you, I am so anticipating the touch of God in our lives, in our homes, in our families. Amen. And just the consciousness that I have, amen, is very limited, I know, but we have a lot of needs. We have a lot of needs, but we have a big God that's able to do as the Lord has spoken to us already. Amen. Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, He's able to do. Amen. He's looking for us to look to Him. Amen. And I'm trusting Him tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Psalm chapter 147. We'll begin at verse number 1. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. I want you to notice with me in particular tonight, verse number 3. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Praise God. Praise God. I'm telling you, wounds are a part of life. But it is not intended to be the end of our life. Father, we love you today and we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity of coming together. We thank you, Lord, for your understanding and your compassion that is so great. And in this very service tonight, as we've gathered together, Lord, with a desire, with the vision of this pastor, Lord, for the homes and the families of this church to be strengthened and to be helped. Lord, I'm asking you by your Holy Spirit to accomplish a work that is so desperately needed. It is something that I cannot do in myself. It is something that this dear pastor cannot do, though he wants to so desperately. But it is something that you have supernatural power and understanding to be able to accomplish, to heal the broken in heart and to bind up our wounds. Lord, I'm believing you to do it tonight, Lord, to provide a foundation upon which our homes can be built, Lord, a foundation of love and healing, Lord, to progress from this point forward. Hallelujah to God, with a renewal in our spirits, Lord, without the damage that the enemy would live to perpetuate in our hearts and homes, but bring healing, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you as you're seated tonight. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. It's been a little while back that I had a dream that really affected me. It's not often that I have dreams. Usually my head hits the pillow and I'm out until the alarm goes off in the morning, you know. And if I do have dreams, I don't remember them when I've been awakened, you know. But this one, I can still see vividly in my mind. I was in a room and a fella came up to me and he was saying, "Man," he said, "I hurt my finger," and sure enough, blood was there, and he was grimacing with pain, and I looked at that finger that looked like it cut it or something, and it was a bad cut, and I noticed that, and yes, it was painful, and yes, no doubt it was painful, and it was hurting, and it's bleeding, but I looked at, then I just looked at the man himself. And on this man were such wounds is the word I'll use for it. Most of them were not fresh wounds. Most of them were old wounds that looked like they had not been tended properly. Looked like there were big wounds and gashes that had never been stitched up. And, you know, just a lot of scar tissue around it, you know, where it done whatever healing it could without being bound up and without being stitched up, you know. But what really captivated my attention, besides this, the old wounds that were all over this guy, was the fact that just inside the wounds, there it wasn't like you'd see, you know, a cut and you'd see, you know, stuff you didn't want to see. But it was just a dark emptiness inside this guy. And I was awakened with just a startling reminder that there's a lot of people walking around carrying old wounds. It's not just adults that carry these. A lot of times these young'uns carry them. But I'm not here to paint a morbid picture for you and to leave you all just feeling so depressed and downcast. I read to you out of the Word of God that He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Hallelujah. And God is in the business. You know, there's a lot of wounds that people experience. There are the wounds of a warrior. There are wounds that servicemen, military men, warriors face, the physical wounds that they sustain. Very likely there's probably some that are in this congregation tonight that have served in armed forces and have experienced those kind of things. You know, there's I've visited before in veterans hospitals and places where veterans gather for medical treatment, and you know, I've overheard their conversations as they talk about, amen, places that they've been and the hardships that they encountered and wounds that they sustained. Amen. Not only is it physical wounds, but many times there are emotional wounds. Amen. Scars upon their minds and their emotions and mental images that they're unable to wipe from their memory. I want to tell you today, amen, there's wounds of warriors. There's also wounds of workers. Different things that people have done that have caused wounds, you know, whether it's you sisters in the kitchen and you get a new knife that's sharper than you were expecting it to be and you find yourself slicing your hand or open a can and wind up you know, accidentally slitting your finger on the top of the, you know, the lid there, and all sorts of stuff, amen, can happen. Amen. Some of you fellows on your job, amen, though you try very hard to win the safety award, amen, you find sometimes something happens that, you know, an accident happens and you wound yourself. You know, I was working on our house when we were helping build a house and shot a nail, you know, with a nail gun, wound up in the wrong place. It wasn't supposed to wind up in that finger, you know. Amen. And my brother said, "Oh, James, surely you didn't do that." Amen. He reached in his tool belt and pulled out a pair of pliers and said, "Grit your teeth. Here we go," you know. Got a little scar right here on my finger that reminds me that as a little boy, dad always loved to have his grass caught in the catcher, you know, and lived in the city and so we caught the grass, and many times you try to mow it and it was, you know, a little damp, and whether you're doing it early morning or whatever. And so you know what happens when you're trying to catch damp St. Augustine grass, in a catcher, out the side chute there. Clogs up right there, and I didn't have enough sense to know. I don't know how old I was, but I wasn't thinking when I took the bag off and reached in there to unclog it. You should have turn the thing off before you do that. So I got a little check mark scar right here on my finger that reminds me that if ever I want to... Some wounds we cause ourselves. You know, the cause of wounds, sometimes it's our own doings. The psalmist said in Psalm 38 and verse 5, "My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness." Sometimes we bring things on ourselves, don't we? Sometimes we bring hurts on ourselves. Sometimes, as the saying goes, we ask for it. We do things, whether it's sort of like the proverb says in Proverbs 23 and 29 and 30. Amen. Talks about who hath wounds without cause. Those that tarry long at the wine. Those, we deal with a lot of American Indian people and you know, there's a lot of hurts and a lot of wounds that people bring on themselves. Wounds without a cause. There's no reason for it. Amen. There's no reason to do that. Oh, I tell you what, the Bible talks about that he that committeth adultery, amen, brings on himself a wound and a reproach. Amen. Oh, I tell you what, there's wounds that we bring upon ourselves because of our own foolishness. Amen. Let me just go before I go any further. And I want to remind you, amen, that even though you may have a wound this evening that you brought on yourself, or that I've brought on myself, the Bible does not qualify. It's then God does not say, "I will only heal wounds that you are a victim of somebody else's antagonism." But He just simply says, "Bind up your wounds." Hallelujah. Oh, friend, today, amen, if God would not heal us of wounds we brought on ourselves, amen, what hope would there be for any of us? But God is a merciful God. God is a God that says, "I know what's going on in your family. I know what's going on in your life, and I'm even able to heal the wounds that you've caused yourself." Because we've all caused wounds. We've all made bad decisions. We've all gone the wrong direction. We've all made bad choices. We've all done things or said things. Amen. Furthermore, amen, there are the wounds that are caused by my own foolishness. There are wounds that, according to the... Have you heard the saying? And I know I probably mentioned this when I was here before, but have you ever heard that saying, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me"? I want to take a vote here, okay? We're calling a business meeting right here. No. We're going to take a vote right here. How many of you believe that's true? Woo! It's unanimous, Pastor. May all of your business meetings always be this way. Amen. It's not true, is it? The Bible says two times in the book of Proverbs, chapter 18 and verse 8, as well as 26 and 22, the Bible says the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Hurtful words spoken by others, whether supposedly joking . Tell you what, words can still hurt. Because even though sometimes we come behind them and say, "Oh, I was just kidding," many times it reveals what we really are thinking. And it can gouge and hurt. You know one of the ways? I just talked to us men for just a minute. We can wound our wives so easily with unthoughted, if that's a word, without considering, without really contemplating the effects of what we say. It can wound. You may say, oh, it's just a joke, you know, saying, you know, she just really worships me because she offers me burnt offerings. And just things that just irritate and aggravate. Sometimes with children, amen, you know, words can wound our children. Words, you know, it's comparing them to one of your other children. Why don't you make the grades that she does? Ouch. I mean, it's one thing if they're slacking and you're trying to encourage them, and but watch the way you do it. I should watch. Oh, I tell you what, some of the most painful experiences in my life, amen, is when I have seen the countenance, whether it be on my wife or my children, of something, the way I said something, amen, or whatever, and to see the consequence, and see the effect, and see the hurt and the wound. I want to tell you what, sometimes, amen, our children, I was thinking of a boy, actually as a man, telling me, he said, all he ever remembered his father talking to him and calling him, he said, Gary, this was his name, he said, Gary, you're dumber than a box of rocks. You'll never amount to anything. Here the man is now in his 50s. Amen. But that's all he can remember about his daddy. That's all he can remember about what his daddy said about him. And it's something that he's had a real struggle getting over. And I don't know that he ever has yet. Amen. But I want to tell you something. Amen. You might be here tonight, and all that rings in your mind is something that somebody has said about you. Something, some word that somebody has said that has cut you to the heart. Maybe a companion. Amen. Maybe a relative. Amen. Or somebody at work or whatever. Amen. A wound. I want to tell you what. Amen. God is intending tonight, amen, to deliver you from the painful effects of that. I had a man call me one time, and he said, you know, Brother Martin, he said, I have letters. He said, his mom and dad were very prolific writers, and they many times didn't communicate all that well verbally with him, and he's a grown man now, but in their old age, both his mother and father had written letters to him and said, son, said, you're just so unstable, and you're this and you're that, and he just lived under that cloud, amen, continuously. Amen. That mom and daddy think I'm so unstable. That I said, listen, you might have been when they wrote that. Amen. And I'm not denying that they were telling the truth. I said, but that doesn't mean you have to keep living that way and live under that cloud that they've pronounced me unstable. And so I can't ever be anything other than that. I said, God can deliver you from that. And I believe, as we prayed, I believe God set him free. Amen. From that oppression and that feeling of that I can't break out of this, friend, because God heals wounded hearts. God heals the wounds of our heart. Sometimes it happens from those from whom we least suspect the wounds will come. It was prophesied about Jesus, Zechariah 13, one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Sometimes the desertion by our friends. Sometimes parents, and not just parents with young children, but sometimes older parents have been wounded by the ingratitude of your children. You've done so much for them, and then it seems like they don't appreciate it. I've met lots of folks like that, that it hurts. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to in nursing homes. Says, I don't understand why my children won't come visit me. And it hurts. And I know there's probably different factors that go into that, because many times, amen, when parents live selfish lives, then they bear the effects of that later on in life. You know, and so I understand that's a possibility of it as well. Amen. But there's all these things that can happen. You know, the unkindness of parents to their children. And as I've already said, sometimes, you know, I've been guilty, and there's been more than one handkerchief I filled with tears. Amen. That as I've cried out to God for His help. Amen. As I see that I've not been perfect in these ways. And please understand that. Amen. Whenever you're teaching about the home, it's not because we have a perfect, that I'm the perfect example in every way. But I see a God who loves ours. He loves our homes. Amen. And He's given us grace to this day. Hallelujah. If we'll be humble before Him. Hallelujah. His promise is that He'll give grace to the humble. But the danger of wounds is this, that if they're not properly tended, have you ever heard it said, you know, oh, time will heal it. Time will heal it. Not necessarily. Time may be a part of it, of the healing process. But time by itself won't heal. Because there's the possibility of infection. And so if a wound is not treated, there's a possibility of infection. So it's not just time that heals, but it's proper treatment. Amen. Time may be an element in that healing process, but God's will. Listen, I want to tell you, it's so vital, amen, that we experience healing, amen, in our hearts. No matter what your past has been, no matter what you brought with you into this service tonight, you may have brought a baggage. You know, sometimes we don't see it, but I thought about it, you know, bringing in a big duffel bag or something, you know, just overload. You know what? Because a lot of times we bring a lot of baggage with us. There's a lot of people bring a lot of baggage to the marriage altar. And they think just getting married and having a new face in their life is going to solve all their hurts. But many times they just bring all that baggage with them, and it only complicates what's going on. I'm telling you tonight, God is going to do something in this altar tonight. Hallelujah. That I believe is going to free so many people, praise God. Because it's so vital that we experience this healing and this binding up of the wounds of our heart. Because, amen, hurting people hurt people. If you and I don't experience deliverance and healing from hurts that have happened, and for you, like I said, I'm not just trying to drag up a bunch of stuff in your past and make you relive all the sordid things of your past, but I'm saying if you've not brought it out and open before God and let God bring a healing to your heart, praise God, amen, it can only precipitate, amen, a greater element of hurt to other people. The vast majority of those who are abusers have been abused. Just a perpetuating of the experiences of life. But I'm telling you, God's a God who says, I care about you. I understand you. Did you read in the scripture here where it says, great is our Lord and of great power, His understanding is infinite? Praise God. Well, I tell you what, amen, all of us understand that there are those who have been victims of abuse, amen, especially physical abuse and so forth, and it alters and affects their personality. It alters and affects their view of themselves. It affects their view of other people. It affects their view about God, amen. And so I believe that God wants us to see, amen, that God is able, amen, to bring a healing to those that are hurting. You know, it also has its effect on someone spiritually. Yeah, I want to hurriedly look right quickly at at an instance in which there was one of the disciples of Jesus that was wounded. One of the disciples of Jesus felt so deeply disappointed and wounded, amen, in his expectations of what Jesus was going to do. And we see in him an illustration, amen, in the book of John, chapter number 20. The Bible speaks about this disciple of Jesus, amen. And we find here recorded, amen, the Bible says about this one in verse 24, but Thomas, wait a minute, before I go any further, how many of you know what we normally think of Thomas for? What? Doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas. Now what's the matter with Thomas? What's the cause of his doubts? I don't know altogether. The Bible doesn't describe all of this, but it seems that here is one that felt wounded. Amen. When the other disciples were all together, Thomas was the only one who was missing. And that illustrates to me the tendency of a wounded person to withdraw themselves. Come up in a little shell. They're afraid of being hurt anymore. And so they build around themselves a wall. In their own mind, thinking, I'm protecting myself. I've been hurt. I've been wounded. And so I'm not going to become vulnerable anymore. I'm not going to open up to anybody else. I'm going to put my little wall around me. That's why it is so vital and so essential, amen, that husbands and wives, that many times there's things, wounds that have happened, amen, that have not been dealt with and been remedied, amen, there's not been a healing to that, amen, that it creates an environment, amen, of difficulty in their relationship with their companion, because they've got all this baggage and all these old wounds that are still there that are subjecting them, amen, to painful experiences. The Bible says about this Thomas, he said, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. You know what? I see in this a wounded heart's doubts. The doubts of a wounded heart. The doubts. I won't believe. You know what? A wounded person doubts he can trust anybody. He's been wounded. Here he had heard the words of Jesus and he had said previously that he was willing to die with him, but now here he is withdrawing himself and said, just leave me alone a while. Just leave me alone. And while the other disciples are gathering together, where's Thomas? I don't know. He's not here. A wounded spirit is off the cause of a root of unbelief in hearts. You know what? A lot of times, family members and those that seem like they're so adamant in rejecting your interest in telling them about Jesus, many times, at the root of that, it's not just a deliberate denial about the proofs of the gospel and so forth, but it's the fact many times there's a wound that's in there, amen, that they feel like that people have let them down and they've been disappointed and so they're afraid to open their heart up to trust anymore, amen. But Jesus, amen, does not leave people like that, praise God, amen. You can see the wounded heart's discovery, amen. Jesus came and showed up in the midst. And he didn't scold Thomas and said, you old rascal, why are you so, where were you last Sunday when I came to your meeting? Why weren't you there? Amen. He didn't come scolding. Just like tonight. If you're here and so vividly in your memory right now as I'm talking about wounds, you're reliving in your mind some of those wounding experiences of your life. You're seeing the people involved. You're experiencing the pain and the anger and the animosity, the hatred, the resentment, the big questions. Amen. And all these questions are so massive in your mind. Why would God let this happen to me? Why would God let this happen? Amen. And there is just such a wounded attitude there. Amen. But I want you to see here as Jesus came into the midst. Amen. The first words Jesus said was, "Peace be unto you." I'm telling you, there may be lots of big questions in your mind. I'm telling you, I feel so strongly that I'm looking at some people right here tonight that your circumstances in life have done nothing more than form a big question in your mind about God. How could a God... Like I said, I don't know everybody here. I don't know all your background. I don't know what all you've gone through. But there's been a big old question mark. And it says, I just don't understand. And it just doesn't make sense to me. And why would God let this happen? And why would God let that happen? And why has it worked out? Why me? What did I do to deserve this? Why do I have to go through this painful experience? Why does this have to happen to me? Amen. I want to tell you tonight, I want you to hear the comforting word of Jesus. Hallelujah. As He says, "Peace be unto you." Amen. You may have had nothing but turmoil and trouble and struggle, but Jesus is in this place tonight, and He says, "I want to speak peace into your troubled heart." Amen. Into your home. Maybe nobody else knows what's going on. As Brother Kincaid said, behind that smile we put on when we come to church, and God knows what's going on in your home and in your heart when you're alone or when you're just with your family. Amen. But God knows what it is. And He says, "I want to bring resolve and peace. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad," Proverbs 12:25 says. Jesus has a word of peace for you tonight. You may have felt like, "Well, I guess I'm just going to have to live with this pain. I'm just going to have to live with this hurt. Amen. It's always going to be this way. Nothing's ever going to change about this." Amen. I don't tell you, I can't promise that your circumstance will change tonight, but I can tell you that you can hear the word of Jesus. Amen. That will speak to you, and He will say, "Peace be unto you." Peace, that peace that passes all understanding. A peace in the midst of your storm. A peace, amen, though they may not ever come to you and ask you to forgive you for what they've said to you or what they've done to you. Amen. Jesus, hallelujah. I'm telling you, Jesus tonight can speak peace into your spirit. Glory to God. You do not have to live under that harsh word of whoever it was that said that hurtful, harsh word to you. You don't have to live with that reverberating in your mind and conscience. I'm telling you tonight, you can leave this place hearing the words of Jesus. "Peace be unto you. Peace, my peace I give unto you." Furthermore, not only can we make the discovery of hearing His comforting word, but we can see the convincing evidence that Jesus presented. Jesus understands when you're hurt. You talk about somebody that's been hurt and didn't deserve it. Most of us have to plead guilty to at least a part of deserving what we get. But Jesus didn't have to. Jesus didn't deserve one thing bad that they did to Him. He experienced physical wounds. They bound Him. There's abrasion wounds. They scourged Him. There's laceration wounds. The crown of thorns was an illustration of the puncture wounds that He experienced. My, on and on we could go. The plucked beard, the spear, the pierced side. Besides the psychological wounds, amen, the wounds of being rejected. There's nothing more painful than to be rejected. The language of rejection is the harshest language in the world. Whether it's from family, whether it's from acquaintances, rejection. "You're no good. I don't want you. You're not important. I'm telling you, Jesus can heal. I feel like sharing testimony here. A couple of years ago, in our travels to Alaska, the Eskimo villages, there was one of the young men, was in his 20s, I guess. I can't remember his exact age, upper 20s. Had a lot of struggles in life. A lot of struggles in life. He was at that point, he was crying out to the Lord and trying to do good, but he was going through a painful divorce, and his wife had left him, and just a lot of struggles he was facing. We left and came back home. We were ministering out in the Navajo Reservation. We were in Flagstaff, Arizona, and I got a phone call from him, and his first words when I got him on the phone was, "Brother Martin, how can I get you some money real quick?" I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Don't matter." He said, "Just how can I get you some money real quick?" I said, "Gary, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about." But I said, "Tell me what's going on with you." He said, "Man," I'm in Anchorage, and he said, "I've been drinking," and he said, "I was just with my ex-wife, and she told me I'm no good, and I'm not worth living, and I just ought to end my life." He said, "So I want to get you my money real quick." I said, "Gary, you know that's not the answer. If you'd end your life because of what somebody's told you, that you're worthless and no good," I said, "that's not your answer." I said, "Jesus is your answer. He's your help." He said, "Well, I've tried that." And he was drunk. You could tell it by the way he's talking. And he said, I guess the devil's going to win. Something like that he said. And he hung up. My heart was so broken as I began to pray and intercede for him. And felt like the Lord impressed upon me to call the Anchorage police. Which I did. I was in Flagstaff, Arizona, but I called the Anchorage police, and I said, "Listen, I know the guy's name. He's told me he's in such a motel, and I think there are four or five of those in Anchorage." And I said, "I don't know anything about except for what he's told me. So it sounds like it's, you know, he's threatening suicide." And so they said, "Well, we'll do what we can," and hung up. And I tried to call back, and I couldn't get any information, you know, because of privacy laws and all this kind of stuff. And I wasn't related to him. And I tried to call a preacher friend that I knew in the area, and he couldn't get any information. And so it went along for several weeks. And finally, I got a call back from him. When I looked at my phone and saw it was him calling, I was so relieved. And I said, "Oh, thank God, Gary, it's you." And he said, "Yeah, Brother Martin." He said, "I don't know what happened to me. I was in Anchorage." He said, "I know I've been drinking, but he said, I was on the 15th floor of that motel, and I already had that huge window swung open, and I was standing right beside it when the police burst in and got me." He said, "I'm sure thankful God had mercy on me." And I want to tell you what, God has done a work in that man's life. I just came back from Alaska last Tuesday. Amen. And we were with him, and boy, God has fired him up. He's preaching. Amen. And he was preaching at a church in another village on Sunday and Wednesday after we left. I want to tell you what, God is a God that can heal the hurts. Amen. The devil would love to destroy you because of the hurts and the wounds that you sustain. But Jesus understands, and He's able to bring healing and deliverance. You can go further. You can go ahead. Jesus said to him furthermore, said, "Reach hither your finger. Behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Your all the circumstances of your life may have been arranged into one massive question mark. But I'm telling you, Jesus is here tonight to stretch that question mark out. and make it an exclamation. Praise God. My Lord and my God. Hallelujah. There may be a lot of things about tomorrow and about yesterday that I don't understand. But I don't have to understand. All I've got to do is learn to hold His hand. Praise God. I can trust the Lord. I may not understand, and I may not understand until eternity. Amen. But like with Thomas of old, amen, instead of him continuing to nurse his doubts, amen, he responded to Jesus' words. Instead of being faithless, he became believing. Hallelujah. And his doubts came to that time of discovery. And now he comes to a fervent and faith-filled declaration. Hallelujah. My Lord and my God, I'm going to trust you no matter what. I'll tell you what. Obviously, he got a hold of something. Because history tells us that it was Thomas that carried the gospel to India. Amen. Woo! I want to tell you, God can take what looks like something that's intended to hurt and wound you and cripple you for life. God's able to stretch it out into an exclamation and say, I believe God. I can trust God. And I'm going to believe Him tonight. Would you stand with me together? Praise God. Praise God. I've talked to a number of RNs, people that work in hospitals. Seems like I remember there's some here. I don't remember who it is, but talked to them some about trauma care, about times when people come in, been injured, been wounded. But just a simple, basic thing that we all could understand was the fact that they can be ever so skilled, but they can't accomplish any treatment until they expose the wound and can begin to work with it. And very likely, that's one of the most difficult things for most of us to do. I'm not asking you to come tell me all about it. But it is so essential. Whether you're a young person, whether you're a husband and wife, whether you're grandparents, the wounds of your life that have become a source of limitation and hindrance to you, have been a source of bitterness and resentment, anger that festers up so quickly. I'm telling you tonight, if we'll open that up to the Lord and say, Lord, You know how that hurt. And Lord, I don't want to just ignore it. I want to ask You to bind it up. I don't want resentment and bitterness to breed. I don't want the infections. To run wild in my life. But Lord, I want to be healed. But you know, one of the values of having been wounded is that it can make you more sensitive in an ability and a consciousness and a sensitivity to the needs of other people when you sense that they've been wounded in a similar way. You say, you know, I understand what you're going through. Here's how the Lord helped me. I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to walk you through this, and you can come through with victory. Praise God. You talk about preparing you for a meaningful life. Yes, all of us wish we could say we've never had those experiences of wounds. But God can heal you in such a way that then when you turn around and you see somebody else that's being wounded, instead of you just walking away from them and saying, I don't know what to do, you're able to go to them and say, you know, I know what it's like to be wounded like that. And here's how God helped me. I'm going to stay with you through it until you come out with victory. Praise God. Tonight, this altar call is maybe a little bit different than what we have at times. But I want us all to bow our heads and I want us to close our eyes. And I want us here tonight, as I've been preaching, the Holy Ghost has been talking to you. And you'd be quick to raise your hand and say, you know, Brother Martin, there's wounds in my life that I need God to heal. There's hurts that I need God to deliver me from, the painful reminders and just the continuing consequences in my life. I need God's healing in my heart. I want you to slip your hand up all across this building. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, God sees your hearts, my friend. You can put them back down. No one can touch you like Jesus can. One of the most painful hurts that you might be here with may not just be what somebody's done to you, but it might be something you don't understand why God let something happen. And sometimes there's people on church pews that have, no, they wouldn't say they were bitter at God, but yet in a very real sense, it's hindered your prayer life. It's hindered your desire to study God's Word because you say, well, Lord, I trusted you and you let me down. I trusted you about this and it's not worked out like I thought it should. There's some here tonight that your wound and your pain is not so much against other people, but it's in a real sense between you and God. But tonight, would you humble yourself and say, Lord, I don't understand, but I'm asking you to heal that hurt. Heal that wound. Give me grace to overcome, Lord, those doubts. And let them become discoveries that lead to a fervent declaration. Hallelujah. My Lord and my God, I'm going to trust you. All right. There's many of you raised your hands. I want you to be the first to come now tonight to this altar. Come on. Amen. Those of you first, amen, that you say, you know what, I know what it's like to be hurt. I know what it's like to be disappointed and wounded. But I'm going to bring it to Jesus right now. That's right. He's going to meet you at this altar. He's going to meet you at this altar.